preacher. I'm not as good as Bruce Cantrell, who can open up the Bible and preach without a note. One of the unfortunate things for me is that I have to have a note, otherwise I lose my place. I thank Etta for reading the scripture lesson to us today. And the heading I've chosen, Are Christians on Parole or Fully Pardoned? Seems like a strange way to put it, parole or pardon for the Christian. Well, think about it. When a prisoner is pardoned, he or she is free unconditionally, no strings attached. But when a person is paroled, there are conditions. They still have to report to their parole officer. They can't go here, they can't go there, they can't do this, they can't do that. Are you getting the point? A lot of Christians are like that. They are on parole. Act like it. They're on parole. Talk like they are on parole. And has God put the Christian on parole? That is what matters. Paul's few lines in Romans chapter 3 are some of the most profound. He's most profound, for here in a few bold strokes of the pen is the heart of the good news. We have come to the vital answer Christianity offers to all who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God has provided for our salvation. He came into the world in the person of Jesus Christ and suffered for us on a bloody and terrible cross. God allowed his only Son to take our sin upon himself so that we could be justified. The key statement in Romans chapter 3, verses 23 to 31, is verse 24. You need to go to the Authorized Version to get the full impact. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. To be justified. Before God means that God's justice has been satisfied through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ paid the penalty for our sin, and he has also removed the guilt of our sin. This last point on guilt is an important fact that many Christians overlook or never really understand. For example, you can try to illustrate justification with a traffic ticket. Suppose you have to go to court for speeding, but you do not wind up paying the fine. You learn that it has been paid by someone else, possibly good old Dad or rich Uncle Bob. Getting your fine paid by someone else partially explains justification, but God goes one important step further. While the person with a traffic ticket might get their fine paid, it doesn't alter the fact that they are guilty. But when the sinner turns to God through Jesus Christ, their guilt is wiped out along with the penalty. In God's eyes, the Christian is completely pardoned for all our past sins. God declares that we are good in his eyes if we trust in Jesus Christ. And not only that, he accepts us, makes us one of the family, so to speak, a spiritual son or daughter and heir. See John chapter 1, verse 12, Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Christian can't completely understand it, but they can say, God looks on me just as I have never sinned, just as I have never sinned. How and why can this be? The next key word is the clue. We are justified freely by God's grace, his unmerited favour, mercy and love. Again, like justification, you can only try to illustrate grace. Grace is like getting two more days to complete an assignment, even though you've procrastinated for 6 weeks and missed the deadline. Grace is like getting a warning from the traffic officer. Instead of the loss of 10 demerit points, $120 fine now, I wouldn't have a clue what a fine is, but I put in 120. And a suspended license. I know what that is. Grace is getting another chance. Even though you haven't earned it or deserved it, you may not even want it. But no earthly analogy really explains God's grace. God's unmerited love and mercy are available to all men and women, even those who hate him. When a person is truly sorry about their sin, and when they trust Jesus Christ to be their personal Saviour, they are free from sin. God freely forgives and accepts them no matter what they have done. Only God could offer grace like that. There is one more rather important point. We are justified freely by God's grace through redemption. That is in Jesus Christ. Redemption involves payment. Redemption means releasing from bondage by the payment of a price. The idea of a ransom is involved. You can recall some of the huge ransoms paid to kidnappers over the years. But Christ did more than pay the sum of money for our lives. He gave his own life as a ransom to deliver us from the bondage of sin. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Men and women are separated from God, lost. They are sinners. They are captive in the hands of the evil one. Jesus came and died to pay the maximum price to buy us back, for we are rightfully his. The price was his own life, given on the cross. He purchased us not with gold or silver, but with his own blood. See Acts chapter 20, verse 28. So what is there left for us to do? Nothing. Nothing except God's good news. Believe it. Have faith in it. Because our salvation is not based on good deeds. It is based on what Christ has done and our faith in him. Romans chapter 3, verse 27. Faith in Christ changes us and makes us new persons. Faith, as Martin Luther King put it, is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that a person would stake their own life on it 1,000 times. There is no magic in faith. Faith is simply our response to the salvation Christ obtained for us. We now face God unafraid. The penalty and guilt of sin is gone, paid for by God himself. Religious rites and works do not make us right with God, and God doesn't expect them after we come to Christ either. We are fully pardoned, even if our guilt is gone. We are not on parole, earning our freedom, continuing to pay the debts for our crimes. Wait a minute, you say. Does that mean I can live any way I want to and not be concerned about obeying God's law? As Living Letters put it, that is not what it does mean. Being pardoned by God makes you a new person. You trust Christ for power to live as you should each day. In fact, only when we trust Jesus can we truly obey him. You can't trust Christ by being religious. Trusting and religion, self-effort, are contradictory terms. To trust Christ is being a Christian without being religious. You see, God has always saved men and women by faith. Before the law was given through Moses, God called a man named Abraham. He became the father of the Jewish people. God sought out this Abraham, who lived almost 2,000 years before Christ. And he responded by faith. If you want to read more about Paul's comments on Abraham, I'd suggest that you read Romans chapter 4, verses 1 to 25. Why does Paul stop talking about Abraham? He has good reason. Paul is writing to the Jews and Gentiles who have become Christians. He has made the claim in chapter 3 that faith is central to being justified through God. But what if this faith idea is not in harmony with God's revealed will in the Old Testament? Is there no biblical foundation for the importance of faith? The Jews would claim Paul to be a heretic. It is possible for others, like the Jews, to be justified by works, to be saved by keeping God's law. That would mean Christianity is wrong. Paul doesn't choose Abraham as an example by accident. Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation. See Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 8. If Paul can show that Abraham of all people was justified by faith and not by his works, he has made his point. Faith is firmly rooted in the Bible, the Old Testament. And Paul does make this his point. Look at Romans chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. Abraham believed God, and that is why God cancelled his sin and declared him just and righteous. In Romans chapter 4, Paul is saying to read the story of Abraham and decide for yourself. Abraham was called by God to leave his home and to go to a new land to found the Jewish nation. He went. He was told that his wife would have a child, even though he and his wife were well past the age for bearing children. But he believed, and Sarah did give birth to a son. With Abraham, it was all faith. He believed God. He obeyed God. He had faith and he acted on it. He did not simply sit back and do nothing. Faith is response, action. Belief, that's mental assent, may be for study. But faith is for the road. Abraham is a prime example. The faith you have is the faith you show. Faith is not merely head belief. Faith is life, lived in a new way, in response to God's revealed will. Faith is practical. Faith is not fancy. Faith means risk. Abraham went out, not knowing where he was going. Those men and women who travel in space have a kind of scientific faith. Careful calculations make them believe that things will work out and they blast off. But Abraham had even greater faith. He had no way of calculating how things would work out. He accepted God's word. He stepped out in trust and obedience. The faith you have is the faith you show. And Christians are Christians on parole or fully pardoned. The band.